For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take your word this morning and sink it deep into our hearts. Father, I pray that you would especially be with me and help me to speak truthfully and faithfully and clearly. Amen. And I'm on to the second one. His name shall be called Counselor. And I want to focus in on that and look at the reasons why Christ is not just the Counselor, but the perfect Counselor, an amazing Counselor, the perfect Counselor. The first thing I want to look at is he always was and saw the beginning. You know, parents tell their kids, don't touch the hot stove. And whatever all these sort of things, because they've seen it done before. And they know what the consequences are. They tell them in every aspect of life, don't ride your bike down the stairs. Don't lick the flagpole on the cold winter day. Whatever it is, because they've seen it done before. And in the same way, Christ, as our Counselor, always was. He's seen every situation that ever there was from the creation of Adam and Eve in the garden until today. He has seen every decision every man has ever made and seen the outcome of it all. You know, it doesn't make you feel very confident when a doctor looks at your child and sees the infection and says, I've never seen this before. When he starts giving you advice at how to take care of it, you don't feel very confident in his advice. Christ is the Counselor. He's seen everything before. In North Dakota, there's a lake called the Devil's Lake. And this lake has no outlet and no main inlet. It's just a pool of water sitting there. And way, way, way back when white man first started settling in the area, the Indians came to him and said, why are you building a town in the middle of a lake? And they're like, what lake? The lake's way over there. And they're like, you're building a town in the middle of a lake. And now, a couple hundred years later, there's a 20-foot tall dike to keep the water out of the lake, and if that dike were to break, the only thing of the city you would see left is the steeple on the tallest church. Just buried. But they got this big dike to keep the water out, and now instead of the lake being where it was supposed to be, it's flooding farmlands, and whole farms are folding up and closing because their farm is under 2 feet of water. The Indians knew because they'd been there, and they'd seen the lake rise and fall over its course in time. They'd seen it before. Christ is our Counselor, and he always was. And he saw the beginning. He saw the beginning of everything. He's seen it all before. Not only that, he knows all things. Remember the story when Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, cast your net on the right side and you shall find fish. He knew the fish were there. And throughout the Gospels we see things, Jesus perceiving their thoughts, knowing this, knowing that. He knows all things. Therefore his counsel is correct. Not only that, but he made us. When something breaks, we naturally, we go to the person that made it. You don't generally buy a brand new Dodge and then when it breaks, take it to the Ford dealer to have it fixed. You take it to Dodge. Whatever it is, you take it to the place that made it. We have a Hobart guy come to the bakery quite frequently and he works on our scales and our mixers because they're Hobart. He's familiar with them and he knows how to fix them. Our neighbor, when we lived on Clover Lane, Jeff built the house there and he put a big Russian fireplace in. And I can't remember all the details of the story, but he calls up Jeff after he bought the place, Troy, and he's like, "How do you run this thing? It's just cooking me out of this house." Because he started it up and just burnt a fire morning till night, and the house got so hot he couldn't figure out how to use it, and he has to call up Jeff. And then, of course, overheating it, he had to take steel bands and tighten them around the thing to keep it from falling apart. And so he called up Jeff because Jeff made the thing, and he knew how it was supposed to be run. Christ made us. He knows what works, and he knows what doesn't work. I had a F-150 a number of years back that I took out truck jumping, and anybody could have told me. I wouldn't have needed the guy that built it to tell me, but he certainly could have told me, this truck isn't built to have its wheels off the ground. But it sounded like fun at the time, and there's a couple other people in the truck too, and it's like even a cute girl that I kind of liked at the time, and so it wasn't a very good combination. And we go down and go over the tracks a few times and we break the truck and we're stuck in the ditch. It wasn't made for that. Christ is our counselor, and that's what I'm here to talk about. God made one man and one woman. And anybody that tries anything else is going to find out the hard way that we weren't made for that. And that's just one example. You read through this book. This Bible tells us things to do and it tells us things not to do. And our counselor, who gave us this counsel, knows. He made us and he knows us more than we know ourselves. We think this is what will make me happy. But when the Bible says something else, believe the Bible rather than you. Because he made you. But not only did he make us, the Bible tells us that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's been there before. You wouldn't ask me how to fix a car, but people come into the bakery all the time and ask me how to make bread because I've done that before. Generally, you want to get directions how to get to a given place by somebody who's been there before. You want to know how to die? Find out how to die from the man that died and rose again. You want to know how to live? Find out how to live from the man that created life. I can't remember where, but years ago I read a story. And I should have written it down, but I didn't know that I would someday want it for a sermon illustration. About a river guide on the Mississippi River. So this man had a boat, and he would go up and down the river, and there was a certain stretch that there was a certain guide that he would always hire to take him up and down that stretch of river. And he comes there one spring, and this guide says, "Absolutely not. The waters are too high. You cannot travel this river when the waters are this high with this size of a boat." And another man steps up and says, "No, he's wrong. You can travel this river. I know this river very well. I've traveled all my life, and you can travel this river." And the owner of the boat said, "Okay, I'll hire you. Be my guide." And the boat never came back. It was smashed upon the rocks. There is consequences for the decisions we make. But we have a guide who has given us a guidebook. We have a counselor who has given us wise counsel. Let us heed that counsel. Other people are going to come. The devil in particular, he's going to come and say, "It's not that way. You can do this. It won't have those consequences. You can travel this river at this time of year with this much water, with this kind of a boat. But you can't. Maybe not even in this life. You may make it from birth till death without meeting a consequence. But that doesn't mean you won't. It will come." And again, I don't remember much of what Glenn ever preached, but I remember a few stories he told. And I remember this story in particular, and again, I don't remember the details of it, so I'm going to make it up. But there was, I believe, it was the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. There was a challenge. A whole bunch of ships set sail to cross the ocean in a race. And whoever could get across first would win some great prize. And so this particular ship meets a storm. And the captain of the ship tells them, "Take down the sails." And they begin to argue, like, "We can't win a race without our sails up." He says, "Take down the sails. You can't have a storm like this with sails up." And they were the only ship that made it across. All the other ships sunk because they didn't have a captain that would take a stand. You can't do what you can't do. We have a counselor who's been there before. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows all things. He knows what works and he knows what doesn't work. And he's told us. He always will be, and he knows the end of all things. Remember when Paul advised the captain not to leave the harbor? Because God had revealed to him what would happen if they did. He knew the end of the story before they started. He's like, "If you leave, everything's going to be lost." And he was right, because God had told him. Christ, our counselor, knows the end. He's told us. We have the last chapter of this book, if we will read it, and we know the way things end. Let us heed his counsel. Remember the story of Gideon when he went with just 300 men to fight, and all they had was lanterns, torches and all, and trumpets. He knew the outcome. God had already told them, you're going to have the victory. And that was the cause of the boldness that caused him to go up with only 300 men. He knew the outcome. That's why he was able to give those men such wise counsel and be a general of that war. So we have a counselor who knows the end. But a hammer isn't any good if you don't pound nails with it. And a sermon isn't any good if I don't apply it. Very often people need counselors to tell them the obvious. I want you to keep that in mind as I read some of these things that Christ said while he was walking this earth. In Luke 14, verse 8, Jesus says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Then when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Everyday counsel for how to live, how to act with fellow man. Wise counsel from a perfect counselor. John 9:4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Work while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. It's one of those things that's almost kind of obvious. Yet we have to be told because we don't do it otherwise. Work, for the night cometh when no man can work. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Why don't you guys all turn there with me? I'll probably end up reading the whole chapter, because in this chapter, Jesus over and over again gives counsel. "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand know what thy right hand, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The things that Christ told us fall into multiple categories. He said some things that were statements of facts. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Stated a plain and simple fact. Other things he gave us were commands. Other things he told us really is wise counsel. It's a command because of who said it and where it is written. But listen to this. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's just telling us the way things are. He knows the way that man is built. He knows that man cannot divide his heart. And he's just telling us so. For where your treasure is, verse 21, there will your heart be also. He says if you have lots of treasures on this earth, your heart is gonna get wrapped up in them. But if your treasures are all in heaven, your heart will be wrapped up in heaven. He's just stating a fact about the way the human is built. That if you have treasures in a certain place, your heart will be there too. He says, lay not up treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. This is wise counsel from a perfect counselor, because he always was and he saw the beginning. He knows all things and he made us and he knows the end. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Enter in at the strait gate. Jesus knows where every path leads. He knows the beginning of every path and he knows the end of every path. And he says, not that one. I'd recommend taking this path because he knows. And he tells us. Because. Why does he give us this counsel in verse 13 to enter in at the strait gate? Because strait is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Which leadeth unto life. This is his counsel to us. If the world would listen to Christ's counsel, they would be saved. If Christians would listen to Christ's counsel, there would be no more fighting in the home or in the church. It's an interesting thing. If a married couple obeys Christ's commands, they won't divorce. But if they are and obey all of his counsel, they won't have any desire to. They would be happy. If Christians would listen to Christ's counsel, there would be no more broken friendships, sad hearts, bitter homes, dying churches, bad Christians and frowning faces. There would be true friends, happy hearts, Christians with a purpose and shining faces. Let us take Christ as the counselor. Take his counsel, believe it, live by it. Understand that it is better than our own. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us this morning to take Christ as our counselor and to take his counsel and apply it to our lives. That we would actually live according to the commands that he's given us and the counsel that he's laid forth in this book. Amen.